Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures, and it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you.
This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress that is trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. It's a great mattress at a very reasonable price point. Comes with a 20-year warranty and a great deal for our listeners. Douglas is giving you a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That is douglas.ca/CanadaLand. How fucking depressing was it this past summer to watch the three big wireless companies win? You remember what I'm talking about, that ad campaign, relentless, day after day, full page ads, radio, everything. The message of which was, A, we're a bunch of whiners. We don't know how good we have it. Our wireless prices are actually not so bad. They're pretty good, in fact. And secondly, that the entrance of Verizon into the Canadian cell phone market would be somehow a threat to our national sovereignty, that it was unpatriotic to support Verizon coming into Canada. I mean, they really showed us exactly what they think of us with that ad campaign. And then they won. I don't know if it's because of the ad campaign. I kind of doubt it. But Verizon cooled on their interest in coming into Canada. And then we found out who was going to be bidding in the new wireless spectrum. And there's nobody new. No foreign capital. No new companies want to do business here. Mobilicity, Wind, they're going to die. They're going to get gobbled up. It's going to be back to business as usual. Maybe. Couple developments last week. The first is that either we're really a bunch of whiners, or wireless really does suck here, because the number of complaints about wireless in Canada doubled last year. Second bit of news last week is that Verizon has registered a lobbyist in Canada. They got a guy in Ottawa. He's going to be meeting with this government, a government that seems to genuinely want to get some new competition into the mobile sector. So you never know. Something might give. Today, I'm going to be talking to Elliot Noss about these issues. His company, Two Cows, has looked at this problem, looked at how much people hate their cell phone companies, and tried to offer something different, tried to sort of build a new kind of cell phone service. It's a Toronto-based company, but you can't subscribe to it in Toronto. Their product is available in different parts of the world. It's available in America. People seem to like it. You can't get it here. So yeah, you can be innovative in Canada. You can be an innovative Canadian, but it's a lot harder to innovate Canada. Now, Elliot has been working in the internet from the start. He used to be in the ISP business back when there was an indie ISP business in Canada. He's got a lot of war stories to tell, a lot of opinions about this stuff, and I think you're going to enjoy my conversation with him.
This episode is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. Trust is important. There are a lot of mattress lies out there, a lot of mattress liars. And I didn't intend the pun, but it occurred to me that there is one as I was saying those words. Listen, I am not lying to you. I have experienced the Douglas mattress. It is an exceptional mattress at a surprisingly affordable price point. It is a mattress that sleeps cool, doesn't have that weird thing in the summer where the mattress gets like an oven. It's a very good product. It's delivered to your house in a box. You don't have to go to a big mattress store. It is a medium firm mattress, which is what Canadians prefer, and it comes with a 365-night trial and a 20-year warranty. What more can I tell you? Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's amazing the things that we tell ourselves to talk ourselves out of getting help. Anybody who's actually gotten help knows that the process of getting things off your chest, of taking your stressors, your problems, and just like not letting them be bottled up, working through just conveying them to somebody, half of the battle is just doing that. You unburden yourself. And you know what? If you have a real mental health professional, no, they don't have magic bullets or magic words that make it all go away. But often they can help you see things a little bit differently and guide you to strategies or tools or to a new perspective that actually does help. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Because you listen to this podcast, you get 10% off of your first month at BetterHelp.com/CanadaLand. That's BetterHelp.com/CanadaLand.
Speaking of innovative Canadian companies, my sponsor is FreshBooks.com. Perhaps you've been hearing me speaking about FreshBooks.com and you haven't checked them out because you find accounting boring. I find accounting boring too. Invoicing and billing is not my favorite part of my job as a freelancer. That's why I like FreshBooks. They make it so I don't have to worry about that stuff as much as I used to. It's painless. Check it out, FreshBooks.com. It is really bad and awful and shitty here, right? We're not like just whining about this. It's wireless is bad in Canada.
Price is terrible in Canada, probably the worst in the world. I would put out it is the worst in the world. I feel like that's an educated view, you know, on top of the OECD data we've seen recently, but you know, that it really is worst wireless pricing in the world. The network's pretty good though.
Yeah. Is there a path to something better that you can foresee as somebody whose business like depends on that happening?
In Canada, it's very, very hard for a new entrant to get funded. And I would say in this particular auction, it would have bordered on impossible because of the failures of the last attempt at competition. So Canadian capital is decidedly conservative, very conservative. You know, Canadian banks are incredibly reliable and, you know, viewed as having come through. They did come through the last terrible recession or crash in a great position.
Yeah.
But they are so conservative.
Well, and they're bound up with the incumbents.
They are bound up with the incumbents, but, you know, if you could get a banker to – I think it's about risk. I don't think it's about cronyism there.
But everybody agrees on this, is that the only way it's going to happen is with foreign money.
Yes.
And we scared off the foreign money.
Yeah, I'm not so sure Verizon wasn't just otherwise occupied.
And that's what they are saying. Oh, we were never that interested. But the data that's coming out now is they made some pretty serious offers.
Yeah. I just think they had bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
You know, that U.S. wireless market is so juicy. They had the chance to take out their partner. $45 billion, a lot of capital.
Sure.
You know, I mean, if I'm looking at a deal relative to my business of that size, I'm going to say that, you know, I'm just going to sweep my arm and take everything else off the table.
I guess so. But
call people and say, sorry, you know, we'll talk about it again in a year.
But they could probably walk and chew gum at the same time.
This is more than walking and chewing gum. So I was kind of okay with that. I do think, you know, you do still have some foreign money in. And so, you know, I think there's things that can happen. But I think that right now, you know, it wasn't about government rules in this auction. I think that's a failure on the capital side. You know, it was really tough. I mean, I made some soft inquiries if anybody was interested. And it's, you know, I mean, it's just not taken seriously that, you know, that you can be a participant,
right?
You know, in this auction. And
what does that mean? I made some soft inquiries.
You know, I check with people. Hey, do you think, you know, you think we might be able to get some backing? Do you think we might be able to, you know, take a look at this?
Yeah.
And I was very quickly discouraged.
Right.
You know, we're small relative to taking on something of that size, even at a partnering level. And I do think that, you know, an imposed wholesale regime is not a terrible idea in Canada. I think it's worked in other countries. I think common carriage is a concept that, you know, goes back hundreds of years. It might even have its roots in the Roman Empire.
Bandwidth must have sucked back then.
Yeah, it was all about roads. And one of the most interesting things that came out of the whole media campaign that the big three, you know, waged against Verizon was their admission, their complete reliance on, in their marketing, the fact that those networks had been built with public money,
mm-hmm.
that those networks were the public's.
Yeah.
You know, how can we Canadians, you know, sort of give this benefit of these networks that we've built with our taxpayer dollars to this foreign invader? And so, you know, I mean, I was
hearing so that. Dumb, man. It was so insulting.
Yeah,
and they've said the opposite to me on the phone when it suited them. You know, I spoke to a guy from TELUS once. You know, I said, but aren't these the networks were built with public money? Weren't they? The public already has a stake in this. No, we've invested billions. This is our infrastructure. Why should we have to give it up? And then they're suddenly saying that it's like your water, Canadians. Do you want some shiftless outsider to come in and drink your milkshake? I mean, it was just like imagining us as these xenophobic idiots when in fact, if there's an emotional aspect of this with Canadians, it's against the incumbents.
Right.
You can't stand those companies.
But there's this ironic half a point in there. So earlier I said, hey, we've got pretty good networks.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about what the incumbents deliver as the sum of running a network, customer acquisition, customer service, customer experience. And so customer service, think about everything from an FAQ to the person you speak to on the phone. Think of customer experience as everything from the web app to the retail store if you're so inclined. The sum of that is your service,
right?
Incumbents have done a reasonable job at running a network. A reasonable job.
Yes.
I don't look at that. You know, you said grade that out of 10. I probably give them a 7 and I'm a harsh critic.
Yeah.
Right? On the rest of it, they're terrible.
Atrocious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, the you know, I mean, what I love about an imposed wholesale regime is it does for the market, you know, the great bit of really allowing the best of both worlds to emerge. And if the incumbents could just wrap their heads around the fact that, you know, they actually do one part of this business pretty darn well, and that is true,
mm-hmm.
then and they shouldn't be so married to this stuff they do at best mediocre and probably objectively terrible, then we could all end up in a much better place here, a regulated, mandated wholesale regime that would save them from themselves.
And help your business, and this is a good time to talk about what
sure.
you're doing. If this conversation is, as the media presents it, just about getting your cell phone bill lower, I mean, that's great and that's, mm-hmm. you know, matters to everybody. But I have always been talking about how this is actually an innovation issue and this has to do with how our businesses perform and what the next businesses are. And that brought my attention to Ting. So really quickly, what is Ting? Why don't we have it in Canada?
Yeah, so Ting is an MVNO that operates in the U.S. only.
What's an MVNO?
A mobile virtual network operator. We have a down the center of the highway mobile service that replaces AT&T or Verizon. We're partnered with Sprint. Sprint is our network behind the service. We do everything else on top of that network. Customers are loving it. You know, you can just go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/Ting, and read about, you know, the incredibly novel experience of customers being thrilled with their mobile provider.
And, okay, but let's just break this down. From the customer's point of view, the big difference is, I mean, A, no contracts. But the big thing is you just pay for what you use.
Yes. You know, it's a much lower bill for the vast majority of users. And
is there, like, if I don't use my phone at all in a month, what am I paying?
$6.
So $6 is just the cost of setting foot in the door.
That's the keep alive. That's keep your number.
$6 is the cost of entry, and then I only pay for the minutes that I use, the texts that I send, the data that I download.
Yeah. You know, the dirty little secret in the industry is people are so intimidated by overages into overbuying. You pay for, you know, your worst month or two of the year.
Yeah.
And therefore, you're overpaying in the other 8 or 9 or 10, and people are saving huge money.
Right, right. And then behind the scenes, the way you do this is that you don't actually have a network. You're buying a wholesale level network capacity from Sprint,
that's
mostly
right.
In the States.
That's right.
But you can't do that here because why?
To date, nobody will sell us network.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Why does Sprint do it then?
In the U.S., it's very much a 40-40-20 market with Verizon, AT&T as the two big players, Sprint much smaller. Or, you know, half the size of the other two. There is, of course, you know, T-Mobile and there are a few others. So that competitive dynamic is very, very different.
To my simplistic understanding, yep. the difference is in Canada, if you got three companies that are like more or less the same size sharing 85 to 95% of the market.
Oh, more.
Yeah.
I think it's 98.
98% of the market.
So it's something huge.
You can make a few bucks by wholesaling to a little guy, but what if that little guy becomes a big guy? And what if their business starts to cannibalize your own? In the States, if you've got a more robust marketplace and you've got a smaller player like Sprint, they're going to make money any way they can. And
you know,
the customer you get is not necessarily their customer. Whereas if you were to buy from TELUS or Bell, there's a 33% chance that the customer that you sell to is somebody that you're robbing from them.
You know, you talked about their perception, which I completely agree with. The reality is if any one of them would sell to me, at least two of the three customers would come from their competitors. And the ones who we took from them were likely the people who were going to leave them anyway.
Sure.
So, you know, we're convinced that it makes great business sense for any of them to deal with us. And I mean at a business level,
that way.
In their self-interest.
Yeah. But they got a good thing going. I mean, what value do they see?
The hardest thing for them is to acknowledge that we do customer acquisition, customer service, customer experience better than they do.
Because I saw your site. You come to the site. It's like, here's what you've used this month. Do you want us to tell you when you've hit this 1,000, you know, like a gig? Do you want us to cut you off at that point? Like, it feels like a current website as opposed to this like bizarre labyrinth of these other sites where it feels like on the incumbents' websites and with their customer service, they make it hard on purpose because you'll spend more money that
right.
way.
That's profit by obfuscation. There's no question. And, you know, we just had the luxury of being an internet company and starting with a clean sheet of paper. Right now, all of them are locked into this terrible cycle with this massive phone subsidy, which requires contracts, which requires overpricing.
Yeah.
If you think about the difference between unlimited and what we're doing, you know, in unlimited, they're incented financially at every turn to have you pay as much as possible and use as little as possible.
Yeah.
So they're at odds with you.
Yeah.
For us, it's like everything you're using, you're paying us a fair price for. There's not a thing that we sell that we don't make money on. So I can come to your side of the table, help you use less. If you want to use more, make that less expensive per unit for you. You know, it's very easy for us because we're not burdened with those legacy structures. And I don't mean costs there. We have a huge cost advantage. I'm not even referring to that. At a business model level, we can take the customer's side. And at a business model level, they're by definition at odds with the customer.
Yeah, that's the value that you bring to the table.
It's just a better way to be able to do business.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels better. It's better for customers. They're happier. We're happier. Our employees are happier. I mean, when we have a customer service person come over from somebody who's worked in one of those experiences, I mean, to them, it's, you know, it's the difference between a huge headwind and a huge tailwind.
Yeah.
I mean, they just, you can see them just take a deep breath and go, oh, this is fun.
All right. All right. I can't give too much advertisement to a company for a service that I'm intrigued by, but have never used.
Yes. We wish you could.
Yeah.
We wish you could use it.
Why, if Sprint chooses to do business with you, should Canadian companies be forced to do business with you?
Well, my strong preference would be that one of the big three recognized the business benefit and maybe even just the political benefit of doing business with us.
So that would be your preference as if they just sort of saw the light. But failing that, you have mentioned an enforced wholesale regime.
Yes.
Is that why I'm able to get internet through these little companies like Aconeq or TechSavvy that piggyback Rogers Network? I mean, Rogers doesn't want to sell them network. They're forced to.
They have to do it. So first of all, yes, they have to do it. Second of all, there's a long history in Canada of that. I mean, that's how the original set of dial-up ISPs were able to be in business. And I mean, that's where my roots are. And I could tell you all kinds of stories there about, you know, the imposed regime. You know, they had to sell us phone lines in order to allow us to be in business. And it was at a mandated price.
And the idea being if we had waited for Bell to get Canadians on the internet through dial-up back in the 90s.
We would have had one ISP and it would have sucked.
Yeah.
In fact, their ISP did suck.
Yeah.
You know, any market where there was competition – as in dial-up there was competition. There was no urban market. There was no city. In fact, in North America, forget about in Canada, where the leader in the city was – and sometimes the first, second and third place was not a local business.
Yeah.
And when we moved to broadband and then it became facilities-based and regulatory, it was the revenge of the telcos and cable cos and they wiped us all out.
Yeah.
You know, in 1996 – there was imposed third-party access to the cable plant for internet access. You know, we were lucky enough in Toronto to have the first internet over coax in the world, and we were unlucky enough to have Rogers, who was you know, a brilliant at a regulatory level, always has been, to be able to then keep access out from 96 until 2012. So, you know, think about that. 16 years till TechSavvy could put the first customer on. So there's, you know, whenever we're talking about government solutions, you know, the easy part is getting them to make the obligation. The hard part is getting them to enforce it.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Whenever financial conservatives say like, well, look to the States, that's what we want is like a laissez-faire, you know, free market solution. The problem here is that things have been pushed the other way for so long in favor of these huge companies that then saying like, well, if any, you know, new company wants to come battle with us, let them just battle it out in the marketplace. It's been swayed to one side. Like we need a Canadian solution where it actually gets regulated the other way.
You know, you have spectrum that's sold as property, as a scarce resource, which is based on science from the Titanic.
Yeah.
We made a submission a few years ago on this with no intent of it being taken as serious, but simply to put it on the public record. They could have opened that whole thing.
Yeah.
And what can – if they would have just turned that spectrum into an open resource, treated this block of spectrum in the same way that Wi-Fi is, Canada would be the world leader in software-defined radio. We would have had the best electrical engineers from all over the world flocking here to develop hardware for this market.
Let me make sure I understand what you
sure.
mean. They take all this new 700 megahertz mm-hmm. spectrum, this mm-hmm. great spectrum that lets you talk
yep.
in the elevator,
yep.
carries higher speeds.
Yep.
This is the prime real estate for the next generation of
yep.
mobile devices.
Yep.
And rather than auctioning it off with a restriction on foreign capital mm-hmm. for hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right. Not a billion. That's right. Hundreds of millions.
Right.
Right.
What do you do?
You just open it up. You treat it the same way we treat Wi-Fi. You treat it as open. Canada could have said this is open spectrum.
Sorry, meaning I don't need a license to put a Wi-Fi router in my house because I'm
Correct.
Operating in a part of the spectrum
Correct.
That's open. Anybody
Correct.
Can go and throw a signal on. Right. You're saying they should do the same thing with that 700
megahertz. They could have. Done
they could
the same
have.
Thing. And if they would have, people – so the smartest radio engineers
yeah.
from all over the world have been chomping at the bit to do software-defined radio. There is no open spectrum anywhere in the world that allows them to do that. You look at what innovation has – so in other words, the whole hardware side of the ecosystem can never evolve because there's no – you know, there's nothing to shoot at. There's no market to evolve it.
I think I know what you're talking about. Software-defined meaning that there's all this concern about interference, about
right.
if I'm on one
right.
piece of spectrum,
right.
am I going to – you know,
are
planes going to drop from the sky?
It's got nothing to do with the spectrum and everything to do with the radio. So imagine we're sitting in this room right now and you're listening on a tiny little transistor radio and you're trying to get a station.
Yeah.
It comes in to some level clear or not. Now imagine you're listening to the same radio with a big, beautiful Bose radio and a huge antenna. You're going to hear the station more clear. The signal didn't change.
Yeah.
Just the reception did.
And we're talking about software that is basically intelligent and is looking at like where the interference is coming from and finding
it's
places
just
the
dealing,
site.
Right. It's just dealing with interference. And that whole ecosystem has not been allowed to develop.
The potential for this is a world where there is no scarcity of spectrum whatsoever.
Well, that is the world we live in.
Right.
It's just that governments have chosen to impose this regime because as often happens when you start with a property view of something, it's very hard to go backwards.
Yeah. You were hearkening back to the early days of the internet in Canada. Let's talk about that. I mean, I remember getting online like my last year of high school in like 95.
Mm-hmm. And who was your ISP?
Was I with Interlog?
I don't know.
I think I was with Interlog.
They were a competitor of ours, but I will tell you.
Who were you?
We, at the time, we were Internet Direct.
You were Internet Direct.
And I will tell you that the guy who runs Ting at a product level is an old Interlog guy. So there you go.
Was Interlog – was that Matt Harrop?
Yep.
That guy went to high school with people I went to high school with. And he was like – he was the first you know, guy to get rich who was ridiculously young and everyone was like, damn. He was really into raves.
Yep.
I remember that.
All true.
So those were – that was like the Wild West. There were all these little dial-up and I remember that at the time, Two Cows was like where I would get freeware from.
Yeah, software downloads.
Yeah. Then it became something else entirely and
– Yes. So in between that and Ting, so really for kind of the aughts from 2000 till now. So first of all, the software download business is still around, but if you think
What was that business? I never understood it when I was 18.
It was just advertising.
I'm getting I got freeware and shareware and
then we showed you banners.
Yeah,
that is Windows desktop software. All three of which are challenged spaces, Windows, desktops, software.
Yeah.
So that's still around, but obviously a lot smaller. In 2000, we invented wholesale domain registration as competition came to domain registration when it opened up from the monopoly to competition. So we're the largest wholesale domain registrar in the world, second or third largest registrar in the world.
That's like a brand problem for me because I remember Two Cows like, they're giving me free software and they got these smiling cows. And then I think of a domain registrar and I think of like GoDaddy as like just the worst villains on the internet of just these just – jerks with their misogynistic ads and predatory business model and just like this awful troll gatekeeper you've got to go through to have a website. Yes. So,
well, not all of them are like that. No. And we tend to have a little bit of a red state, blue state existence with them.
Why have you been so vocal and active in trying to change Canadian policy? The market here is a fraction of the American. Why do you care so much?
I think
– you could operate here, make money elsewhere, and if this country's backwards, what do you care? It's not going to be that big an opportunity for you even if it were to reform, right?
Yeah, that's – so it's very much a personal issue for me. First of all, I don't feel like I've been so vocal. I feel like I do it when I can but that I don't nearly do it enough. I go all over the world. I see – there's no question that networks are the single greatest determinant of economic success going forward. That's both fixed and mobile networks. There's no question that ours suck. And there's no question that that hurts my kids' chances competitively and everybody – that next generation and then the generation that follows that hurts competitively in a deep way that can almost not be undone. And I got to tell you that the U.S., which I used to at least be able to kind of comfort myself that the U.S. was – just as craptacular as we were at a fixed internet level, has had so much positive happening quietly underneath the radar at a municipal broadband level, municipal fiber level in the last 2 years where we have nothing.
Yeah. Let's unpack that a little bit because this is where I think our conversation goes from the networks in Canada, which is of interest to some people and not to a lot of people, to something that I think – is of much wider significance. You're saying that in your opinion, you travel all around the world, the quality of the network and holistically, just like how good is the network, how cheap is the network, how accessible is it, how good is the customer service, that is the biggest factor in how that country is going to do? Like if we-
Economically, without question.
Like Estonia or African nations, you're saying fast forward 20, 30 years, if we lag behind and they are on the cutting edge, then- how we think of those countries and ourselves may be very different.
That is a significant comparative advantage for them. And there are countries all over the world now who have much better broadband than we do.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that don't, you almost without exception, you're seeing at least some political will. Here there is nothing. There's not even an acknowledgement there's a problem. What we do is the typically Canadian thing. We will convene a panel of experts to traipse around the country for a year, spend $10 million studying the problem, produce a 6-inch thick report that says there's a problem, and that's it. And that will suffice for 4 or 5 years until we do the same thing again. There can and should be a revolution in broadband. And understand, I say all the time, and I hope you heard this current up front, don't hate the player, hate the game. The telcos and cable cos will never do it because they're public companies who have to deal with shareholders in the short term. I don't begrudge them their positions. They're doing the right thing. They will not spend the required capex until and unless they have to, competitively or regulatory. This is not an indictment of them. They're doing exactly what they should given the market structure. Yeah.
You referred earlier to like we're going to do what we do in Canada, and it's this funny thing that I am encountering in any field I talk to somebody is this sense of like, well, we're going to do that Canadian thing again, that bureaucratic, inefficient Canadian thing. Like, what is that and how do we change that?
So great. Let me use this platform. You know, maybe we'll make some history here.
All right.
Okay. We've got a mayoral election in Toronto in 2014. I would love to hear a candidate put their hand up right now and say, I'm going to do broadband. I'm going to do fiber in Toronto. And I can tell you, that person puts their hand up, boy, I'm signing up and I will do everything I can to help them. I sadly do not imagine that it's Rob Ford or Olivia Chow. Maybe I'll be surprised. So I think it's going to have to be somebody we're not thinking of right now.
But doesn't that get Canada Fi too? I interviewed David Miller at Mesh years ago and he made this – the day that he announced this Open Toronto thing. And everybody wants to be the tech politician.
It amounted to nothing. Yeah. That's right. It amounted to nothing. Wherever this has happened successfully – in the U.S., it's because there is a person with political will. You know, it's just about a candidate who will allow it to happen as opposed to, you know, a candidate who has to do so much. But they need to have at least the political will, the political vision to recognize how important it is and the political will to keep the federal government and the provincial government from mucking it up. It just takes one politician who is otherwise interested in that mayoral race to see it as in their enlightened self-interest to, you know, allow that flag to be waved.
All right, Elliot, thanks for this.
Thanks. It's been fun.
All right, that's the show. Listen, this week I'm posting a new video to CanadaLandShow.com. You should go check it out. It's about some surprising stuff. Email me for any reason at jesse@jessebrown.ca. I particularly want to hear about guests you think I should be talking to or topics you feel need to get talked about. I'm on Twitter at Jesse Brown. The next show will be up on Monday. Hey, if you like this show, spread the word.
Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures, and it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.